Amen. It's good to see everybody out to the home group meeting tonight for the month of March. Amen. And as we do, it's kind of custom that we go ahead and we kind of, you know, do a little recap, a little roll up of what we talked about last month. And by the way, I have copies of the home group meeting notes from last month over there. So if you want to get them, please feel free to get those. But we'll go ahead and we talked about some points that we talked about last month and they'll get us moving in the right direction, get our spirit pointed to where we need to be so we can talk about a continuation from the book of Galatians. Amen? So first point from last month was Paul continues to defend the gospel by defending himself. Now, that word defense is an interesting word. Because, you know, every time we defend ourselves, and I would recommend becoming practice in your life, not becoming someone to defend yourself, because when you defend yourself, you make the person that you're defending your judge. When you go and you defend yourself, you're making that person who's, you know, pointing their finger and yelling and screaming at you or whatever, you make them your judge. So God is our judge. So the best thing to do there in that case is not to defend ourselves. Let God defend us and keep our mouth in the dust. Amen? That's a wonderful place in God when you can keep your mouth in the dust, because most Christians have a hard time keeping their mouth in the dust. Amen. But anyway, so here's Paul is defending himself, not to the point that he's defending himself, but he's defending the gospel by defending himself. Amen? So we also begin to look at false teachers. And we noticed that last month that false teachers always go where truth is taught. False teachers always go where truth is taught. Because a false teacher would not go to a church where there's no truth there. They always go to a church where truth is taught, because everything... Because every lie must have an element of truth. So they are a false teacher, and so what they're teaching is not the truth, but there's a little bit of truth in what they're saying. There's a little bit, and it's that little bit of truth that catches people, and then that is what they're deceived. It's not the lie, because when you hear a lie, you know it. But if you hear a lie mixed with the truth, well, maybe so. Maybe, well, you know, and the next thing you know, you're off track and you are deceived. That's why we as Christians must have spiritual discernment. Now, that'd be a great place to say amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Most Christians don't have spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment is one of the greatest gifts needed in the body of Christ today. Amen. Is the ability to be able to discern spiritually what is going on in the world. Be able to discern spiritually what is going on in your family. Be able to discern spiritually what is going on in your life. Now, when I pastored in Stuttgart, Germany, I'd say 60 to 70% of our church was African. And I don't know a lot about Africans at that time. And so when two ladies would come and they would have a problem and I would have to counsel them, well, how can I counsel two African ladies? I mean, you know, I can't tell who's lying and who's telling the truth, you know? So what I would do, I would sit back, you know, because out of your mouth speaks your heart. So I would just sit back and I would just let them go at each other. And the one that was not, you know, pointing his finger, and the one is not as yelling and screaming, and the one is, you know, not being crazy, that's the person that I sided with. Because I judge that situation by the Spirit.
Amen.
By the Holy Spirit, but I also judged it by their spirit. If the lady's spirit that was angry and upset, 9 times out of 10, she was in the wrong. So it's very, very important that we have the ability to have spiritual discernment, that we can understand things by the Spirit. John tells us not every spirit in the world is of God.
Right.
Not every spirit. Not every spirit in churches are in God.
Wow.
I'll leave that alone. But anyways, especially in churches, you got to really, really be careful. Amen? We saw last month also that everything we get from God comes out of a relationship. Everything we get from God comes out of a relationship. That's a relationship with God and with man. And with man. I mean, you can't say you love God and you hate man.
Right.
Don't tell me that. No, that's, you know, you don't love God. If you don't love man, then you don't love God. Amen. Verse 4, sweetheart, read verse 4, Galatians 1 and 4.
Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father.
Amen. So, here Paul was talking to the Galatians there, and anyways, he says this world is evil. Amen. We have to understand this world is evil. If you don't understand this world is evil, then you might like this world. Well, John tells us, love not this world, nor the things in this world.
Right.
You know, there are two people, two different types of people in this world. There are Christians and non-Christians. There are saved people and people that are not saved. There are people that are on their way to heaven, or the people that are on their way to the lake of fire. There's two people, and this world is evil. And we must always, always remember that. If not, then we're going to go ahead and dig our heels in. I want a big house. I want a big car. I want a big bank account. I'm going to dig my heels. Oh, God, I love you, God. Oh, God, give me a bigger car. Two types of people in this world. Those on their way to heaven, and those were ways of the lake of fire. Amen? Wow. We also saw in Galatians 1 and 6. Sweetheart, Galatians 1 and 6.
I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel.
So Galatians 1 and 6, here Paul starts his attack on the Jebusizers, and he is approving the people. But he's going to be attacking the Jebusizers, but he's doing it in a apparently affectionate way. And a parent, you know how affectionate parents are. Parents always love kids. And so Paul is coming from that approach where he is loving the people as parents, but he's disciplining the Jebusizers. And of course, we saw that these were apostles of Jesus Christ, like Peter. A lot of the disciples and other apostles of Jesus Christ that gave Paul a hard time. Amen. Let's see here. So another point we looked at is, towards those that misled Paul's, they were approved. And those that, let's go ahead and read Isaiah 42:3. Who has Isaiah 42? Okay, Isaiah 42:3.
A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench.
Amen.
He shall bring forth judgment unto truth.
That's right. So that is the way that you approve somebody that is in error. Yeah. That is the way, like the Galatians, they were in error because of what the Jebusizers were saying. So Paul didn't break them off, didn't break that flask that was smoking, the little flame still in that flask there. He didn't break that off. He just, he just fanned it a little bit. He blew on that and got that flame going again, And so that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go ahead and flame, help people to grow that. Believe it or not, that is an error. Amen. So towards, there was misled. Paul approved them, and then so that they could be restored, back to fellowship. Amen. We must do both. We must reprove the deceived, and we must condemn the deceivers. Wow. We must reprove the deceivers. In other words, the reproving there is going to have, wait a minute, brother. I understand what you're saying, but you know what? The Word of God says this, and we are to tell the world the truth about the Word of God, and we're supposed to approve people. That's one of the problems, I think, in the church today, is no one is told the truth in love. Paul tells us in Ephesians that we are to speak the truth in love. Mm-hmm. But most people don't do that. They don't want to speak the truth because they're going to, people will get offended or walk away or whatever. Right. But we're supposed to speak the truth in love so that they may grow up into all things. The goal for our Christian walk is spiritual growth and maturity. But when we're off in error, we will not grow spiritually. We need to be reproved so that we can grow in the grace and the knowledge. And if we are the deceivers out there, then we need to be condemned. Amen? And the last point was unto another gospel. Wow. Unto another gospel in verse 6 there. You know, it was used as the word another gospel was Antichrist. And that was the word that was used there. And it's not the Antichrist like it's mentioned in Revelations, but it is against. The word anti means against, and it also means another. Here it is another gospel, another gospel, another message, another Jesus. And we can see Ephesians, who has Ephesians 2 and 8?
Brother Howard? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God.
Amen. That's right. So this gift of God is the way that we are saved. There's no other way we can be saved. No other way. There's no other name except for the name of Jesus.
Right.
Right? No other name. There's no other way we can be saved. Buddha can't do it. Confucius can't do it. I don't care. Zen can't. There's only one way that we can be saved. And this is the way, grace through faith. That's what Paul was teaching. But you know what? The Jebusizers and the other people coming in there, they had more ways and they had other ways, and the people were really, really confused, and that's why Paul had to approve them and get them going. Amen? Yeah. So let's go through all of that was talked about last week, so now we're going to go ahead and look at some very, very tough scriptures. Whoever has Hebrews 10:26, that verse just scares the bejesus out of me, let me tell you. That verse scares me, and we'll talk about that a little bit, amen? So here in verse 7 is Brother Paul, he says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you. And so it said, how angry Paul gets at these deceivers. He calls them troublemakers and seducers and, you know, poor conscience. His passage, you know, adduces that further evidence that false apostles, not disciples, apostles that walked with Jesus, right? Defamed Paul as an imperfect apostle and a weak and erroneous preacher. They condemned Paul, and Paul condemned them. Such warfare of condemnation is always going on in the church, isn't it? How many times have you seen that?
Wow.
But that's not what Paul was talking about here, though, right?
Mm-mm.
Paul in Romans says that we wrestle, not Romans, but in Ephesians it says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not supposed to be fighting with one another in the church.
Right.
Even if you're wrong. Even if you're wrong, we don't get angry with our brothers and our sisters. In love, we speak the truth in love. We talk to them. We don't yell and scream. I can mention about 5 churches in the Sneeds Ferry area that I know that board members, the members, cuss and almost get into fist fights.
Oh my gosh.
In the Sneeds Ferry area. Because I've talked to board members that told me about that. That's not what they're supposed to be doing. We're not supposed to wrestle against flesh and blood. For we wrestle against principalities and powers and wickedness and high places. And, you know, that's what we wrestle against. But we're not supposed to be wrestling against one another. But, you know, as we said, there's nothing new under the sun. And that is for sure. When we do things like that, we really highlight our character. Amen? When we do things like that, when we get upset and we get angry, especially with a household of faith, That just speaks of how much character we have. And character is God's number one focus in our life.
Yes.
It's not how much money we have, how well we can speak, you know, what we do in the church, where we go, all of that work stuff. God is laser focused on our character. I was so proud of Greg at church last Sunday when he stood up and told on himself. That took a lot of courage.
Yes, it did.
It took a lot of courage. I'm not sure if I would have stood up and said that. Because, you know, we all could have seen ourselves there. Amen? Yeah. Yes, but he still did that. We spoke a lot about Greg's courage. Amen? Yeah. Verse 7 continues, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And pervert the gospel of Christ. Wow. To paraphrase this verse, these false apostles do not merely trouble you, they abolish Christ's gospel. So when they went in to go ahead and give Paul a hard time, not only were they, you know, belittling Paul, but they were also destroying the gospel truth. They were destroying the principles and the things that Paul landed. Because we saw earlier Paul's first missionary, journey. Well, you know, that's when he laid the foundation for the Galatian church. Mm-hmm. And remember, the book of Galatians is a letter that he wrote. It's a letter that he wrote, because after he laid the foundation, then come the Judaizers. And so he never went back, and he was just correcting them. So that is a very, very important point. Mm-hmm. Amen? Wow. Yes. Either Christ must live and the law perish, or the law remains and Christ must perish. Wow. You can't have both. You can't have both. I don't care what anybody says. You can't have both. Either Christ must perish or the law must perish. Christ and the law cannot dwell side by side in the conscience. It is either grace or law. Grace or law. Wow. To mull the two together, it is to eliminate the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow.
Mm.
But there's many, many teachings today that mix grace and law together. I don't know if you ever heard a guy by the name of Joseph Prince.
Yes.
Well, Joseph Prince, he has a thing called new grace. It's new grace. It's not the old grace. The old grace that Jesus died for. This is new grace. I remember I have a pastor friend, well, a pastor acquaintance now, in Bulgaria, in Silistra. And, anyway, I'm not going to mention his name. But anyways, a Bulgarian like to drink coffee. So they had me over to this one restaurant for coffee. And he was telling me about the new grace. This new grace that he was discovered, that he discovered this new grace. And what he was talking about was Joseph Prince. And it wasn't Derek Prince, but it was Joseph Prince. And he was telling me, and I asked him, I said, well, what is wrong with the old grace? And well, you know, it's you know, this is new and this is for us, you know. No, it's either grace or it's law. There's all type of other religions out there. The Messianic movement, where they're mixing the law with the grace. It's either one or the other. You can't have both. The Hebraic movement, you know, it's either, you can't mix Christ and the law. Christ fulfilled the law.
That's right.
We don't have to do any of that stuff anymore. Christ fulfilled the law. So all we have to do is follow Christ and all be well. But I mean, there's all kind of, before Les comes on here, there's a program called the Jewish Jesus.
Yep.
Well, Jesus wasn't Jewish. Now, he may have been born into the Jewish world, the Jewish culture, and he did keep some of the Jewish traditions, but he was the Son of God.
Right.
He was always the Son of God.
Always.
He wasn't a Jew who was the Son of God. He was the Son of God. And so, anyways, you know, that all of these things are out there, and you know, we can really, really, really get in trouble there. Amen? Verse 8 says, But though we or any angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto them that which is we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. Now, that word accursed is an interesting word, because what they believed, the Galatians believed, before they came to Christ, in pagan ritual, they would go ahead and have an idol, and they would place all of this bad stuff on that idol. It was called a cursing, you know, being accursed. And everything bad, they would place on that idol. And so that's what Paul was telling these Christians. Because remember, the Galatian church, only about 3 or 4 years, maybe 5 years, they were a bunch of pagans and a bunch of idol worshipers.
Right.
They weren't Christians like us. They were pagan worshipers and idol worshipers. Wow. And so they still had a lot of idol worship in them and a lot of paganism in them that God had to take out of them. And that's what Paul was saying, because what the Judaizers were saying was that Jesus Christ, what he was to be a curse, that you put your sins on him to satisfy God's anger. And that's what that word accursed means. That Jesus took all of the sin on him to satisfy God's anger. It was like taking your sins and put it on your idol. So we put our sins on Jesus so that God's anger could be satisfied. And that was so far from the truth. Wow, so far from the truth.
So you're saying that was wrong?
No, that's wrong, yeah. That's not what Jesus did. Oh no. Jesus went to the cross willfully. Actually, I think Jesus went to the cross, he loved us, but he went to the cross more because he loved his Father more than us. He went to the cross out of obedience.
Yes.
Wow. That is greater than going to the cross because I love people. He went to the cross because he loves his Father and he wanted his Father's will. Jesus says, I only do and say the things that I see my Father doing and saying.
Right.
Wow. So it wasn't because Jesus loved us so much, but he loved his Father more than he loved us. And he wanted to, and he had a will. Jesus had a will, right? That the Father didn't want. In the garden, the Father pressed him. That's what Gethsemane means, where olives are pressed. It was an olive press. It was an olive grove. And God, the Father, took Jesus there and pressed that will that he had that was not a will of the Father out of him.
That's our problem.
Wow. Yeah. And so is the servant greater than the master?
No.
I think not.
No.
I think we're all headed to our own Gethsemane. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Wow, wow, wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Amen.
Hebrews 5:8.
Yeah. And so the Greek word anathema right here, or accursed, or anathema, Hebrew here, means to accuse or a curse or to damn. Wow. Paul maintains that there is no other gospel beside the one that he has preached to the Galatians. No other gospel. There's no other gospel. He preached the gospel he received from God's grace. And of course, that was Ephesians 2:8. No wonder Paul pronounced curses upon himself, because he says, but though if we, talking about the people that are with him, if we do this, or any angel from heaven does this, wow, wow, then they are to be accursed. If anyone should dare to preach any other gospel than Jesus Christ. Wow. You know, this is still true today. If anyone preaches anything other than Ephesians 2:8 or other verses, I think the Roman road, you know, Christ, you know, salvation. But if anybody preaches any other message, any other Christ, anything, in God's eyes, they are damned. They're accursed. They're damned.
Yep.
Wow. Who has Hebrews 10:26? Hebrews 10:26.
For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins.
Whoa. Read the end of that again.
Listen, chapter.
there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins.
Wow. So
you can't be forgiven?
Start from the beginning.
Mercy. I mean, there's judgment, but then there's mercy.
Yeah.
For
sweetheart.
If we sin willfully after that.
Okay, if we sin willfully after we have received salvation.
The knowledge of the truth.
The knowledge of the truth.
There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins.
Wow. I don't know. That's a good question, Robin,
oh,
but I will
gosh.
Tell you. That verse scares me to death.
Yep.
That scares me to death. Wow. And of course, we know the book of Hebrews is about a perfect sacrifice, that Jesus is the perfect sacrifice, because the church in Jerusalem is the Hebrew people, and what were they doing? They were going back and they were sacrificing animals. The Christians on the day of Pentecost, who stood up and 3,000 were saved, they were going back to animal sacrifice.
But they're doing that over in Israel now.
Yeah. Wait. No.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah, no. It says at the end that there is what? Read the end of that.
There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins.
No more sacrifice.
Because he said it was
wow.
finished.
I don't know if that's a strong verse, and we could talk about that afterwards, but I mean, you know, that verse, I will be honest, that verse really, really scares me. You know, I hope there is. I hope there is a sacrifice or there's a repentance there. But not sure. If God, wow, if God will forgive someone that has willfully turned their back on him. So, and that gets over to predestination, so forth and so on.
But read 27. But a certain fearful looking for a judgment, fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. So even if you've sinned, you know it's the adversaries, and you repent, he's saying here that he's going to devour them.
Yeah.
Because of his faithfulness.
Boy, that's why that verse scares
me. Wow, wow, wow.
That verse scares me to death. Matter of fact, I got into many, many long debates with people outside of America on that one verse in an article that I wrote. Okay, verse 9. As we said before, so shall, so say I now, if any man preach any other, so this is the second time that Paul is repeating this to them. He's, you know, anytime there's something being repeated or repetition in the Bible, you need to go ahead and pay attention, because that's being said for a reason. Amen?
Amen.
Paul, you know, repeats the curse, directing it now upon all other people. Paul, herewith curses and excommunicates all the false teachers, including his opponents. He is so worked up that he dares to curse all who pervert Paul's gospel. Would to God that this terrible pronunciation of the apostles might strike fear into the hearts of all who pervert the gospel of Paul's today. Amen. And why is this so bad? Why is what the Judas, you know, Judaizers did so bad? Well, it's so bad and so evil because when we teach false doctrine, we are misrepresenting God and His Word before the people.
And wasn't it Thomas Jefferson who ripped out the teachings of Paul?
I'm not sure about that. But any time that we go ahead and we misrepresent and teach false, you know, false doctrine, we are misrepresenting God before the people. Wow. Wow. Deceiving the people, the well-intended in heart from the truth and leading them into error. You know, it's the people that are well-intended and they really don't realize, like the Galatians. And that's why Paul was so angry, because the Judaizers knew better. They knew better, but because they walked with Jesus and they knew, but you know, they were more concerned about other things, and he leading them in error. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 10. I like verse 10 in these verses right here. This is, you know, kind of important in my life here. So verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Now, that is a question that every minister must ask. Every person that stands up and shares the gospel must ask that question. do I now persuade men or God? I do not seek the favor and praise of men, but the glory of God. We preach for the favor of God alone, whose grace and mercy that we proclaim. Whosoever teaches a gospel contrary to ours or different from ours, let us be bold to say that he is sent of Satan. Now, most people won't say that. They won't stand up and they won't go, no, brother, that's not what the Bible says. Yeah, they won't do that, but that's the boldness we have to have. Amen? This is the true heart condition for ministering the Word of God. This is the true heart condition for ministering the Word of God. Yes. And you. Do I serve men or God? Paul keeps an eye, verse 10, or do I seek to please men? Paul keeps an eye on the false apostles, those flatterers of them. Flattery. Man-pleasing. Wow. Man-pleasing is one of the biggest sins in ministry today. Out there trying to please this person and please that person and make this guy happy. And, you know, I said this Sunday, but it's true. If you want people to like you and give you money, all you have to do is tell them what they want to hear and what they already know. That's all you have to do. And people will flock to you and give you money and stuff. But if you tell people the truth, if you tell people that they're getting off track or if they're going to, you know, wait a minute, you won't be invited back. I promise you there. Amen? But we must always endeavor to please God and not men. Wow. We must always endeavor to please God and not men. Verse 10 continues, For if I yet please men, I should not be a servant of God. Wow. If you want to be a man pleaser and please men, don't call yourself a servant of God, because Paul says right here that if you want to please men, you shall not be a servant of God. Every year I go and I speak at a Bible school, Romanian Bible school, and these are first, and usually I get second year students, and we always talk about this verse right here. Every time, we always, somewhere, somehow, we talk about this verse, because this is the heart condition that we must have. Why we minister is not to receive something from God or whatever. Our heart condition is to please God and not please man. Amen? Mm. Wow. Sometimes we must offend people.
Yeah.
That's right. We must offend people. The gospel is an offense, and so is Christ an offense. As I said, every year when I speak to the Romanian Bible school students, we discuss this verse because it is the cornerstone of godly ministry. Who has 1 Peter 2, 4, and 8?
I do.
1 Peter 2, 4, and 8.
To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner.
Wow.
And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed.
Wow. A stone of stumbling.
Yep.
Christ is a stone of stumbling. When we fall out of the way, we're falling out of the way because we have stumbled over Christ, believe it or not. That stone is what trips us up. You know, he is the cornerstone, and we are, and anyways, you know, Christ is just an offense to the world. You know, you can say God, and you can say the man upstairs, and you can say all those other things, but when you say, Miss Betty, when you say Jesus, what, you can't say Jesus. Matter of fact, in the military, you can't pray in the name of Jesus. If you pray in the name of Jesus, well, boy, you get in trouble. You can't pray.
Why are you kidding? Why?
You can't. Well, that's just a rule in the military for chaplains. They cannot pray in the name of Jesus. So it's because you offend somebody. All the Muslims will get offended, and this person will get offended. But Christ is a cornerstone. He's the stone of offense. And so this must be a part of our understanding when we minister the gospel, that we go ahead and we minister Christ and Him crucified. And Him crucified, and that we are not going to please man, we're going to please God and what He wants in our life. Amen?
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to You now, dear Lord, we thank You and we praise You for Your word. Father, Lord, bless this word. And as it goes out over the internet, Father, Lord God, Lord, let people have hearing ears, Father, and hearts that are in a low place and they can understand what's being said, Father. And we just thank You and we praise You, Father, Lord. Thank You for Your word. Help us tonight, Father, Lord God. And Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
And amen.